This is the Poetry Magazine podcast. I'm producer Rachel James with an archival edition of the show. Haidong Phan recently published his debut poetry collection. It's called Reenactments, and the poems, which include translations of several Vietnamese poets, grapple with the history, memory, and legacy of the Vietnam War. This podcast is hosted by Don Scher, editor of Poetry Magazine, and Lindsay Garbutt, managing editor. They're joined in discussion by Christina Pugh, consulting editor. Here's Lindsay Garbutt.
Haidong Phan told us that his father was in the South Vietnamese Navy, and after the war, he was imprisoned in communist re-education camps. Haidong himself was born in Vietnam in 1980, but in 1981, his family escaped and moved to the U.S., where his father went to college and eventually launched a career as a computer programmer.
My parents were preparing to sell the house in preparation for retirement, and it fell upon me to figure out what books to keep, and I came across my father's old college intro lit textbook, and it was just full of his marginalia. So the poem is kind of my marginalia on his marginalia.
The poem is called My Father's Norton Introduction to Literature, 3rd edition, 1981.
Certain words give him trouble. Cannibals, puzzles, sob, bosom, martyr, deteriorate, shake, astonishes, vexed, ode. These he looks up and studiously annotates in Vietnamese. Ravish means gup doak. Shits is like when you have to de-ia. Mourners are those whom we say are full of buong rao. For even the like precursor of feared events, think bao juk. Its thin, translucent pages are webbed with his marginalia, graphite ghosts of a living hand, and the notes often sound just like him. All depend on how look at thing, he pencils, after I first surmised the horses' heads were toward eternity. His slanted handwriting is generally small, but firm and clear. His pencil is a number 2, his preferred highlighter, Arctic Blue. I can see my father trying out the tools of literary analysis. He identifies the turning point of the short and happy life of Francis Macomber, underlines the simile in both the old man and the child stared ahead as if they were awaiting an apparition. My father, as he reads, continues to notice relevant passages and to register significant reactions, but increasingly sorts out his ideas in English, shaking off those Vietnamese glosses. 1981 was the same year we vuoc bien and came to America, where my father took intro lit for fun, comp sci for job. Stopping by woods on a snowy evening, he murmurs something about the dark side of life, how awful it can be, as I begin to track silence and signal to a cold source. Reading Ransom's Bells for John Whiteside's Daughter, a poem about a young girl's death, as my father notes. How could he not have been vexed at her brown study, lying so primly propped, since he never properly observed, I realize this just now, his own daughter's wake. Lai lam nhạc nhiên về is what it means to be astonished. Her name was Đông Xưa, ancient winter, but at home she's Bebe. There was such speed in her little body and such lightness in her footfall. It is no wonder her brown study astonishes us all. In the photo of her that hangs in my parents' house, she is always 14 months old and staring into the future. In re-education camp, he had to believe she was alive because my mother on visits took arms against her shadow. Did the memory of those days sweep over him like a leaf storm from the pages of a forgotten autumn? Lost in the margins, I'm reading the way I discourage my students from reading. But this is how we deal with death, his black pen replies. Assume there is a reason for everything, instructs a green asterisk. Then between pages 896 and 97, opened to Stevens' Sunday morning, I pick out a newspaper clipping, small as a stamp, an old listing from the 404 Employment Ops, State of Minnesota, and read, "For current job opportunities, dial 612-297-3180, answered 24 hours. When I dial, the automated female voice on the other end tells me I have reached a non-working number."
It's so amazing to me, the layers in this poem, how he's able to weave all these different texts and languages and his father's history and his own history together into one whole. And it puts us in such an interesting position as the reader, too, as he sort of acknowledged in his introduction, this is marginalia on marginalia. So you're the reader reading how someone else reads someone else's reading.
Yeah.
Which is just such a unique place to be when you're reading a poem. I thought that was really remarkable.
For a poem that's talking about the risk of being lost in the margins, which this poem takes it from being kind of a cliche to a real possibility in reality, the words that give somebody trouble, somebody who's an immigrant trying to learn not just the language but its literature, those words at the beginning of the poem that give him trouble are a great shorthand list of, it's almost like a plot summary of a great deal of English literature. You know, you can tell, you know, if you've been educated even a bit, you can tell where these words come from. But cannibals, puzzles, sob, bosom, martyr, deteriorate, shake, astonishes, vexed, ode. You know, cannibals, you know, and Swift. What do you make of that? You know, and ode, and I mean, and on and on and on. And having not only to sort of zero in on the key points, but when we find the word shits in literature, we don't really have to do much there. But here it has to be connected with a real experience so that the poem becomes real and not just something on a page with some footnotes in it, which is the risk of every use of the Norton anthologies. And this way of devotedly and systematically bringing to life one poem after another, taking on faith that literature is worth encountering to make a transition in your own life is really moving and powerful.
Yeah, it's great that the last quote-unquote text is the 404 Employment Ops, State of Minnesota, you know. And it also speaks to just how wonderfully material this book is.
Its thin, translucent pages are webbed with his marginalia.
And then you have
his pencil is a number two, his preferred highlighter, Arctic blue.
I can just see in my mind's eye the Arctic blue highlighter that he was using to do this studying. And I like the way some of the words that give him trouble that we were just discussing, that Don was just talking about, then get rewoven into the poem as it progresses. The cannibals you were speaking about in Swift, it seems to me, I didn't make this connection before, but shits must be Celia Shits.
Right. Yeah.
So we have Swift coming back, and then the astonishes and vexed is discussed a little bit later down in the poem with Ransom's Bells for John Whiteside's Daughter, where the poem moves from being astonished to vexed. So it seems to me it really very effectively redoubles on some of these introduced words in a way that's just completely compelling and terrific.
I can't help but go back to the end of the poem where what's so striking is not just the need for employment and the sort of bureaucracy that is evoked here, but that literature has outlived the phone number and sort of automated sort of aspects of our bureaucracy, which is kind of paltry and ephemeral compared to literature that survives any given time.
Haidong Phan is the author of Reenactments and the chapbook Small Wars. You can read My Father's Norton Introduction to Literature, 3rd edition, 1981, in the November 2015 issue of Poetry Magazine, or online at poetrymagazine.org. Let us know what you thought of this program. Please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, or if you listen another way, email us at podcast@poetryfoundation.org. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Are you thinking of buying someone a book for the holidays? Have you considered giving them one book every month for an entire year? We've got you covered. For a limited time, buy one subscription to Poetry Magazine and gift one free. That's two subscriptions for the price of one. Go to poetrymagazine.org/podcastholiday. That's poetrymagazine.org/podcastholiday. The Poetry Magazine podcast is recorded by Ed Herman, and the theme music comes from the Claudia Quintet. I'm the producer, Rachel James. Thanks for listening.